Chapter 53. Darrow. Eyes of Stone. The Ra family compound was once a place of humble beauty, I'm sure. Defiled is too slight a word to describe what has been done to it by Fa's troops. Bodies decompose in the entry grotto. The subterranean spring that runs throughout the home is murky and smells of rot. The winding halls, once painted with images of fables and histories, have been defaced with curses and phalluses traced in blood. I breathe a sigh of relief to see the language is neither Nagal nor common. The Askamani sacked this place. Knowing what awaits Diomedes, I let him search the home for his kin on his own. The liberty is also a litmus test for the man's honour. As he searches, I inspect the bodies of 5 peerless knights who tried to make a last stand. Their bones are broken, and their bodies covered with puncture wounds. I sample the flesh around those wounds to take back to the Archy and compare to the poison we found in those spines in Diomedes' hands. Then I wait in the grotto. I feel sick looking at the bodies that fill the stream. Was it really 12 years ago I sat with Romulus in his garden in the wastes of Carrick? I remember being amused by his daughter Seraphina and wondering what her future would hold. I tried to picture her going off to war. All I can see is a little girl sealed inside a starshell. Did she die at Calliche? Here? Phobos? Earlier in the war? I feel old. And older still when I hear Diomedes's moan coming down the corridors. In it I hear the grief I fear I'll one day feel. How on that day I might think back on this moment now and wonder what I could have done differently to avoid my loved one's destruction. I crave distraction from my emotions, but my time with the path anchors me in my own body. Breathe out. Then in, find the self, lose it again. I repeat the mantra until all I feel is the breath in my lungs, the cool cavern air on my skin, the weight of armor on my shoulders, the distant deep mine wind of Mars. When I found my center, I watch Severo's helm feed as he and Ori enter the market to find the perfumery. They secure the shop, a stone building carved like a teardrop, and crunch their way over broken vials to the back, where Ori pricks her finger on a needle hidden in the wall. The stone trembles and reveals a hidden long-range comm station, her Omega torch. She sends her message, and the 3 of them settle in to wait for a reply. When I think Diomedes has had enough time to mourn, I seek him out. I find him kneeling in the Ra's ancestral sanctum. The faces of his dead ancestors are carved into the chilly black stone of the vestibule. There are hundreds. Many have been smashed or melted by energy weapons. Water from a crack in stone high above drips onto Diomedes's shoulders. He hunches over 2 headless bodies, a child and what looks like a teenager. I feel for the man. Out of respect, I stay silent and sit down in a recessed bench. The stone eyes of his ancestor watch him with less pity than I do. In time, I ask, who were they? Diomedes lowers his hands, exhausted from grief. My brothers, Marius and Pelleron. All of your kin, I ask. What? Was that all your kin you thought to find here? I ask. My sister Thalia. I could not find her. Nor my grandmother Gaia. Nor my aunt Vela. I'm sure there are bunkers. He nods. Shall we search for them there? He doesn't even look like he can stand. If you give me the coordinates, I could have Cassius look. For a moment I'm not sure he heard me. Then he nods again. I hail Cassius, and in a dead voice Diomedes tells him the bunkers where the rest of his kin might be found. With nothing to do but wait with Ori in the perfumery for Athena to respond to our message, Severo doesn't complain. Diomedes nods in gratitude as Cassius sets off. "I'm sorry," I say. "Was it you who did this?" he asks. "No." "What do you know of those who did?" he asks. "Volsung Fa, the obsidian warlord who seems to have united the Ascomani, coerced the Volk out from under us after killing Safi on Mars, and now holds Ilium in the palm of his hand." I pause, then ask, "Anything you can tell me about him?" Diomedes ignores the question, instead asking, "Why have you not killed me?" "Should I?" "We are at war. The purpose of war is to kill your enemies." "I'd have thought a Ra would know better," I say. "You're wrong on both counts. Were I your enemy, I would be celebrating this attack against the Dominion, as it strengthens Mars' resistance to the goals of the Corps. I would have left you out floating in the darkness, or put a pulse fist to your head and sent you to join our Kari in the void. Problem is, I do not find genocide acceptable, and I have a growing vendetta against the man who carried it out, this Fa." "How else?" he asks, catching me off guard. "I'm sorry?"
"You said I was wrong on both counts about war. How else am I wrong, in your estimation?"
"The point of war is not to kill your enemies, but to come to an acceptable peace while losing as few people as possible." Diomedes' eyes narrow. He says nothing, and I take his silence as a signal to continue. "I will be blunt. In a few weeks, Volsung Fa will own all the moons of Ilium. You cannot stop him. Your family armies are gone. Your family's navy is gone. Io has fallen. It was the strongest defensive moon in Ilium. Europa, Callisto, Ganymede, they will all fall one after the other. You can't protect them. Worse, Fa has the Garter. That means he can wage war on the whole rim without ever leaving Ilium."
"We will take it back," he says stoically.
"Maybe the Dominion will have enough strength left to reclaim the Garter if the navies of Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn combine with the Shadow Armada, wherever it is. Maybe. But they'll take time getting here, and if Fa decides he's about to lose, what's to stop him from destroying your ability to grow food simply out of spite? You cannot fix this on your own." I lean toward him like a silver delivering a foreclosure letter. "But perhaps you are not alone after all." Diomedes barks out a laugh that echoes through the vestibule.
"I was told you were a trickster. My mother was right. You list my miseries as if you had none of your own. Your home is under attack. We crushed your wife on Phobos, and even now, Atalantia is biding her time for a reign on Mars. You did not come to Ilium to fix this. You came for either ships, men, or both. But whose? The Volk, I'd wager. Trying to bring them back into the fold, are we?" "Yes, I came for both ships and fighters. But you're wrong about the source. I came here at the request of our mutual acquaintance, Athena." At this, Diomedes' eyebrows shoot up, then settle into a furrow. If he didn't deduce Ori was a daughter already, he knows now.
"Fitting that the terrorists of the Corps are seeking out those of the Rim. What help could Athena and her band possibly offer you that would entice you all this way, I wonder?"
"Given the Crepea among your kin, I'm sure you're aware of the Dominion's various missing ships over the last 30 years. Diomedes gives me no reaction, so I assume I am on the right track.
"It is true that the rim is huge, and that your playthings might get lost in the darkness beyond the shipping lanes,
But if I were you, I'd worry more about who is finding those lost toys.
Ships, then. How many do you think there are?
Enough, I bluff. He would know better than I would. But Athena didn't just steal ships. She said they were building them, too. In truth, I have no idea of the promised fleet's size or quality.
Enough that we could help turn the tide against Far, save the Rim from generational starvation. It's in all of our interests to do that, and quickly.
You are attempting to broker a deal between two parties, neither of whom want the deal to begin with.
His brow furrows.
She is a terrorist. She would call me a slaver, though I am not.
Would Ori call you a slaver? I ask.
He goes very quiet.
She knows I never thought of her as a slave.
His tone reveals enough. I almost laugh. Am I the only one not in love with that woman?
You might not be a slaver like those of the Corps, perhaps, but you had pinks in your house, didn't you? Did they have a choice in their vocation? Shall we ask Ori about her life?
He says nothing.
Listen, Diomedes. You are right that I am attempting to broker a deal between adversaries, but it is only because I believe a greater adversary threatens all of us.
How is Volsung Far a threat to the Republic?
My comm crackles.
Halo One, we have a confirmed receipt from Athena. We're to stand by for instructions, Severo says.
My heart soars.
You mean she's still alive? I say. Looks like. Ori thinks she has assets on Io still. We're to stand by for instructions. Report back when you get them. Registers.
The comm clicks off. I sigh in relief. Diomedes is still staring at me.
Where were we? I ask.
How is Volsung Far a threat to the Republic?
He repeats.
He isn't, I say. He's already done his damage to us. But the entity pulling his strings is very much a threat.
There's something or someone behind this warlord. That is always the enemy you must fear the most, the unseen one who strikes from the shadows.
Diomedes does not encourage me to continue, but he does not argue.
For a flashing second, I see recognition and surprise play out on his otherwise impassive face. He has had these worries himself, it seems.
Do you believe in magic? I ask.
He looks almost offended.
Clairvoyance? Of course not. So you agree no woman or man can see the future? Are you mocking me?
No, of course not.
Good, because there's something that's not been making sense to me. I rub my hands together, hoping to draw him out of his shell. Something about all this that doesn't fit. Now, I don't have all the intel, but Virginia passed me some as we sped past Mars. I got some more from a very rich old friend, and the rest with my own eyes. This campaign against Ilium is organized. This is not some raid of opportunity. It couldn't be. We know that Volsung Far is a core-born obsidian who somehow united the various Ascomani of the Belt and the Far Inc. You know as well as I that a task of that magnitude would take years. But our obsidian friend did not stop there. He managed a coup against the recently independent Sephi, and subsequently stole the Volk Legions and their navy out from under her. It's not the theft itself I can't swallow.
Obsidian thrones are often won through bloodshed.
It's the precision with which the theft was carried out.
So, he's clever for an obsidian. That doesn't mean...
It's not just cleverness. It's not just his mastery of the obsidian psychology.
It's the logistics. If Far was ruling the Ascomani all the way out in the Kuiper Belt, a year's journey at least, how did he know to arrive on Mars exactly when Sephi's reign was the most vulnerable? She'd only just rebelled from the Republic and claimed the mines of Samaria for her all-tribe. Can he see the future? Or is it more reasonable? There is a degree of coordination and patience to this play. Diomedes turns this over in his mind. His jaw clenches. I continue. This campaign against Ilium would have been impossible without the Volk fleet, without the Volk braves, without your navy being off to war in the core. Yet, based on the timetable, all the pieces had to have been in motion long before the Rim declared war. So, how did Far know the Rim was going to be otherwise engaged? Before your own rulers did. Before Cassius and Lysander ever arrived with the evidence of my crimes against the Rim. Years before, in fact. Can he see the future, Diomedes? He does not answer, but thoughts swirl behind his eyes. I'd give almost anything for him to put them into words. Then there's the matter of Kalaki, where the Dragon and Dust Armadas, two of the most storied fleets in history, led by one of the Rim's best commanders, were destroyed without Far even breaking a sweat. I saw his navy when we landed here, intact and, except for those dreadnoughts, decidedly mediocre. That navy should be in tatters, even in victory. It looks like he barely lost a ship during the ambush. Was your navy made of porcelain? Has Helios become incompetent in his old age? Was Dido equally mediocre? His jaw flexes. Was it a miracle? I pause, waiting for him to correct me. He doesn't. You were there. Guard your secrets if you must, but I think it's more likely there was an unseen hand at play. An unseen hand that led you into an ambush, that guided the Rim into the war at precisely the right time, possibly even inciting Cephi to abandon me on Mercury and seek independence on Mars. When said aloud, it all seems far less paranoid than it did in my head. Maybe I've become paranoid after a decade of war, I allow. Maybe I'm swinging at ghosts. Maybe Far is charismatic enough to unite the Volk and the Askamani, clairvoyant enough to plan a war that was only possible if your navy was gone, and brilliant enough to crack Sungrave and the Garter in 1/10 the time it would have taken me. His eyes narrow at that, but even if he hates me, he knows I know my business. Impossible? No. Improbable? Yes. But here's the thing, Diomedes. Neither you nor me are amateurs at warfare. Been at this a while now. What I've learned is war on this scale is preposterously complicated. The logistics of food alone for one starship. Well, thank Jove your people designed coppers. In war, nothing, and I mean nothing, not even your own bowel movements, are perfectly predictable. War is hard, but this bastard is making it look easy. Too damn easy. So all that combined, where does it leave us? It leaves us to ask the question at the center of the maze. Cui bono? So, cui bono, Diomedes? Who benefits from this death and destruction on the Rim? I give one thing to Diomedes. Whoever trained him to withhold his emotions deserves a medal. The man is less expressive than even the stone ancestors that watch us from his wall with their permanent sneers. I'm so focused on trying to chisel meaning from his stony face that I nearly jump out of my skin when my comm crackles with an incoming call from Cassius. Halo 1, do you register? Diomedes shifts forward, hopeful. I register, Eagle 1. Did you find Gaia or Thalia? I ask. Negative. I have enemy contact, West Sector 4, Cassius says. Shit. Really? I didn't think the enemy would still be picking Sungrave's bones. Askamani? Volk. My heart beats faster. I stream Cassius's helmet feed into the air. A chain of captives shuffles through the gloom of a subterranean garage. Small team. They must still be drilling into the bunkers to make sure they get everyone. By the looks of it, they've found some blues and greens, all with interface plugs. High-value colours. Do you recognise the Braves? I zoom in on the enemy shown in Cassius's feed. Over their heavy armour, the Obsidians wear pale ram furs with a crimson streak. Bloodhorn aerial cavalry. Skarde's lot. That tracks. Of all my former Obsidian Centurions, Skarde was always amongst the greediest. I recognize them. I count 6 brave so far, Cassius reports. There will be more, I warn. Do not engage. You heard Severo. We're standing by for instructions from Athena. I have the element of surprise. I could take them. No, those aren't the belt pirates you're used to. I trained those braves. They were frontliners on Earth and Mars, and if they're part of a larger war party, letting them know we're here is the last thing we want to do. Registers. The word sticks in his throat as another column of captives appears 100 paces behind the first. I curse. The new column comprises entirely pink and violet children. Not one could be older than 14. They are the picture of misery. By the looks on their terrified faces, they know what awaits them. They remember their state propaganda. Tales of pale rising butchers and their satyr-like appetites for young flesh. And so does noble Cassius. His biometrics reflect the anxiety in his voice.
Darrow, are you seeing this?
I am, but
I can't just let this happen. Cassius, listen to me. We cannot leave the Omega Torch or compromise this location. They cannot know we are here. We need our rendezvous instructions. Do not engage. Report to the perfumery. Remember why we are here. We are so close.
I feel Diomedes' eyes on me. It's tempting to intervene just to impress upon him that we are not enemies, but the risk is too great. Ori and Severo have been listening to our communication in silence. Ori finally weighs in.
Listen to him, Cassius. When we reach Athena, we can save all of them. Think of the greater good.
That's Darrow's job, he says. Cassius, you will die. You cannot take 12 of them on your own, I say. Stand down. They have children, he says.
And his armor shifts from reptile mode to lupine as it powers for combat.
I'm sorry.
He wasn't trying to call my bluff, but I crack like an egg.
Bloody damn Bologna, I mutter. I have your location. Track them to their ship. Wait for my support. We can jam their comms with our suits, then take them together.
I hear the smile in Cassius's voice.
Registers, Howler One. Do hurry. If they get to their ship before you get here, we'll never catch up. I'll have no choice but to take all the glory. Howler Two, you're closer. Support him in case I can't get there in time.
Severo does not reply. His comm is on. I know he heard me.
Howler Two. Negative. I'm on mission. Severo. You're telling me to abandon our only contact to Athena? Alone? Here? With obsidians about?
Nah. Bologna wants to spend his life for Moonies? Let him. I'm here for my kids.
Maybe think about your own for once.
Severo has never wounded me more than he does with those words. I'm struck silent. I see Diomedes watching me. My pain must be written all over my face because for the first time his eyes have softened.
I have no boots. I will slow you down, Diomedes says. Go.
I hesitate.
I will meet the others at the perfumery. I know it. You have my parole. Go.
He's definitely lying. But I've planted the seed that needed planting. Even if he leaves our company, we will have earned his honor. And the worry about a hidden hand will keep his interest. I storm out of the sanctum, calling Lyria as I race through the Ra family home. She replies from the cockpit of the Archimedes, far to the north.
Truffle, do you read me? You said you can fly. Time to prove it. Bring the Archimedes to Sungrave. Fly low. Pick up Ori and Severo, then lend fire support when able. We're going to need it.